This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome home, Milers, and welcome back to another episode of Mickey Miles and More, a podcast where three friends talk about their passion for the Disney parks. I'm Chris Eliopoulos, and with me, as always, is Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hi, Michelle.
Hello. I didn't realize we were friends. I thought we were just casual acquaintances.
Wait, who are you again? I don't remember who you are.
So I have two things I want to say to you before we launch into the show. The first one is I want to give a shout out to my friend Liz, who we're actually recording late because I rode with her on her 100th Peloton ride. Mm-hmm. So if you're on Peloton and you want to friend me, I'm Scribback and I'm on the tread and the bike. But Liz did her 100th ride, so that's awesome. Congratulations, Liz.
Congratulations.
The second thing I want to say is, I'm sure, Chris, you saw the launch of the Disney Wish. We're going to have Becky Mankin come on and talk about that. And I was so excited to see that on the Disney Wish is going to be a Star Wars bar.
Hmm.
Star Wars themed bar.
Still not getting me. I actually read an article.
It looks really cool.
I just read an article talking about how we shouldn't go back to do cruises because they just dump garbage into the ocean. They cause so much problems to the environment and... You're stuck
Star
with
Star Wars bar.
Doesn't matter. I can drink at home and watch Star Wars on TV. Anyway, speaking of Star Wars, the star of the show is with us, Mr. Mike Scopa. Hi, Mike.
Marvel Universe Dining Room.
Look, I've been working with Marvel for over 30 years. I don't need a dining room anymore.
Well, then there's the Arendelle dining experience, you know,
in the list. None of it's sorry. None of it gets me excited to go on a cruise.
Let it go.
Hello, Chris. We have a lot
to
talk.
Oh, they're having
about
a frozen part of the cruise? Let it go. So, all right, Mike. Mike, for those playing at home, Mike gave us a list with all the things we're going to discuss with a time limit on each thing because we have a lot to get through and we want to get through.
It's about 322 items.
True. And the only problem is that Mike is the one that's going to make it drag on. So
we say in a loving way.
Yes. So first thing we're going to talk about, we have not been ignoring Disneyland or California Adventure. It's just they've been closed. But they're opening this week. So, Mike, what can you tell us about Disneyland and California Adventure's open?
So real quickly. Both the Disneyland and California Adventure theme park will be opening on April 30th, which is we're recording on April 29th, so that will be tomorrow. Their operating hours will be from 9 to 7, both parks. Also want everyone to know that the Downtown Disney District is, I believe it's open now. It's open from 9 to 10, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day. The Disneyland Resort also has a park reservation system, and you know, with just like Walt Disney World, you need a valid ticket for the you need a park reservation and a valid ticket for the same park on the same day, and that's for people who are 3 years old and older. A few other things: the Grand Californian is now open, but the Disneyland Hotel and the Paradise Pier Hotel is still closed. And we're not sure when they are going to reopen. The other thing, getting back to the Downtown Disney District, I don't think every shop, every eatery is open. So I guess it's best to check the Disneyland site and see what's going on. One more thing. Just as in Disney World, Disneyland issued the following statement. It says, upon reopening, certain parks, hotels, restaurants, attractions, experiences, and other offerings will be modified or unavailable. And all these will have limited capacity and will be subject to limited availability or even closure, and park admission and offerings are not guaranteed. So basically, it's a huge caveat. But that's what's going on in California.
Well, looking forward to the original park opening back up. But now we're going to start switching over to our favorite park, I think, right? Is it, Mike, is Walt Disney World or Disneyland your favorite park?
Well, they both have things that I like, but if I had to make a choice, I think Disney World, because there's so many more things to do, and it's closer, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah, Michelle, same thing, or are you a sucker for nostalgia and you like the Disneyland parks?
I love Disneyland, but you know there's some things that can't be beat when you go to Disneyland. The idea that Walt walked on, you know, took those steps, and I think Pirates and Haunted Mansion and Small World, things like that. But Disney World, yeah, all the time for me, Disney World.
So we're going to discuss the Disney World parks now. The calendar was updated as a matter of fact, I think. Right after we recorded last week, it changed, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
So what can you tell us about park hours moving forward?
You know, Chris, I think it changed today, too.
Jeez, they're just keep going.
I believe it's like almost on a weekly basis, like every Thursday or Friday, it looks like they're updating it another week. Right now, the park calendar goes through July 17th. And in general, the park hours are like this. The Magic Kingdom is 9 to 9. Epcot is 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. The studios is open from 9 to 7. And the Animal Kingdom is open only from 8 to 6. Michelle?
Oh, I just had a question. Aren't these hours kind of typical for this time of the year anyway?
I'm going to say that the Magic Kingdom may open an hour early and open an hour later usually. Epcot usually opens at 9, not at 11. The studios, I thought, would stay open till about 9 or 10 after Fantasmic is finished. And the Animal Kingdom, I thought they had been closing at 8 or 9. So, I think it's a few hours difference here and there. And I think that they feel that these hours are suitable based on the assumed capacity for the parks. I think that's why.
So I just keep on thinking of Audra, who likes to walk around the parks at night. And it just seems like we're inching more towards those nighttime hours.
Yeah. I mean, the big one has always been Epcot for us, and having it open until 10 o'clock is pretty much what we're looking for. So chalk that up on the yes or no side. We'll put it on the yes side for going. But interestingly enough, this week, Mike, the CDC came out with some new mask guidelines. So while I'm walking around or going for a run outdoors or going for a walk with my friends and close family, I don't have to wear a mask. But what does that say for the Disney parks?
So those new guidelines, Chris, has started all kinds of conversations. And one of the conversations involves what kind of an impact will this have on places where there are large gatherings like theme parks. And Orange County, on the same day, announced some new COVID guidelines. And basically, they're saying that they're going to reduce physical distancing requirements from 6 to 3 feet in all settings, both indoors and outdoors. But employees working at indoor locations will still be required to wear masks. And then they went on to say when 50% of the population, 16 years and above, has been vaccinated, I'm assuming they mean fully vaccinated, facial covering mandate will be lifted for all individuals outdoors. Now, to be lifted for all individuals outdoors, does that mean people who are not vaccinated? That's not clear. That means this is exactly what the wording is. And then there's
70% of people in Orange County or Florida or the United States.
It just says when 50% of the population 16 plus has been vaccinated. So that's one question, what population? And number two, facial covering mandate will be lifted for all individuals outdoors. When they say all individuals, I'm assuming they mean people who, you know, are not vaccinated as well. So that's very loosey-goosey, and I don't like it.
How are we going to know who's vaccinated?
Well, they're going to dip their heads in blue paint or something. I don't know. There's one more bullet, and it says when 70% of the population, Now we went from 50 to 70% when 70% of the population 16 years or older has received their first dose of the vaccine and slash or Orange County's 14-day rolling positivity rate is 5% or below, all mandates will be lifted. So his two questions, is it and or is it or? And number two, you know, the positivity rate right now is 7.43, and they're waiting for it to be 5 or below. And Chris, earlier today, I don't know if I sent this to you, but there was a question on one forum where people said, how can you have any credence in any positivity rate when you've got people coming in and out of Florida all the time? You've got people flying in from out of state, you know, they're not being tested. So how can you have any reliability with that positivity rate? So this is really confusing. I don't like it. I think it's crazy. I'd love to hear from you two, see how you feel about it.
Michelle's still eyeing the whole thing. Yeah, that's the weird thing. It's very, I'm not feeling like exact things. Like, I want to know when I go to the Disney parks, where do I wear a mask? If you say you can not wear a mask outside, and then once you walk into a queue or once you walk inside to a restaurant, unless you're eating, you have to wear a mask, I'm all for that. Yeah, but the Orange County thing is very kind of, like, I like your term, loosey-goosey. Like, I don't really know. Basically, they're saying whatever comes first, either everybody's got their doses or the rolling rate goes down below 5%. It's not really clear. And then they're not even clear, like, so here's the thing. Kids under 16, we're now really starting to learn that they do get sick, and they are passing this along to adults who aren't vaccinated. And they're still working on making sure that we can have a safe vaccine for those kids. You know, you're going to the parks. Are we just, I mean, everybody says we have to look out for the kids. Why aren't you doing this for the kids? Why aren't you wearing your masks for the kids? I don't know. Michelle, what are your thoughts?
I think, well, Mike said something earlier today, which, you know, I think is sadly true. All three of us, tomorrow's my 2 weeks out, Chris. You just said you're 2 weeks out. Yeah, I'm really excited. Mm-hmm. I wear my mask to protect other people. I know all three of us will do that. Mm-hmm. But aren't there going to be a certain number of people who just say, oh, yeah, I've had my vaccination. I'm wearing my mask to protect others. And I'm worried about those people who are not vaccinated, who are going to be coming to the parks with their kids. I do trust, though, that Disney will have stricter guidelines than Orange County. It doesn't make sense for them just to go for the increased capacity and putting their cast members in danger. Just, you know, for no reason. I think that they're going to err on the side of caution because everything could shut down again, right?
Yeah, they don't want to see that. And, you know, I will say, just on a personal note, this whole pandemic has really shown me that there are really two types of people. There's the people who do truly care about the well-being of others and those who are very selfish and care about themselves. I take it personally, like I said, because my son is an EMT, and I've seen people who don't take what he does seriously. And you know, like I said, my whole family is vaccinated. We are making sure we still wear our masks and we social distance and we do what's right, not because we're safe, but because we want to make sure that everybody else is safe. So I would just say to everybody else, please. I know everybody's tired by this. I you know, I have conversations with friends who tell me about other people they're talking to who are like, well, I'm just done with this. And I kind of go, thank God World War II didn't happen today, because the stuff that people did of that generation to get through, they never said, you know, I'm getting tired of this whole world war thing. I'm going to stop rationing my food and stuff like that. You know, we can do better.
And all three of us have stayed away for a reason, you know, for our safety and for the safety of others. So,
yeah. But I think Disney feels the same way, and hopefully they'll continue to stay ahead of where, you know, they're trying to make sure that everybody's safe is really what they're doing. But, And in that vein, Mike, so Disney World is offering up cash money to employees. Yeah. How is that happening?
We heard that. We heard this a little while back, but it's good to point this out again because it was brought up that Disney wants their cast members, they want their employees to be vaccinated, and they will give them up to 4 hours of pay that they would need up to 4 hours to go out and get vaccinated. And I think that this is kind of a message that they're kind of serious about this. And they're saying that any cast members who are fully vaccinated by September 30th, well, either through a single dose or both, single dose vaccine or a double dose, they fully vaccinated, will become eligible for that one-time payment equal to 4 hours of pay. So that's encouraging. However, I will say that I've heard that Disney and Universal, and I'm not sure about SeaWorld, but they're talking with Jerry Demings, who's the county mayor, Orange County mayor, and I'm concerned about that. And I think when we move on to the next item, Chris, you're going to see why I feel that June, the first week in June, is going to be a very critical week, and we may hear some announcements that first week in June.
Awesome. Speaking of which, now that things are starting to ramp up in terms of hours in the parks, are they going to start opening up some hotels?
Yeah, I'm going to let Michelle run through these resort openings.
Sure. So Beach Club is opening, my favorite, on May 30th. That's my DVC. Wilderness Lodge, also a favorite, is opening on June 6th. The Boardwalk is opening on July 2nd. Kind of surprised about that. Yeah. And the Polynesian is slated to open in late July. So slowly but surely, things are opening. So that's
and a lot of cast members getting called back for those jobs. So that's good to hear. So hopefully we'll see some more. I think I sent you an article about some cast members who were released, and hopefully we'll see them coming back and seeing some of our old friends at the resorts we're used to going to. Let's see, where else are we going? Speaking of jobs, Mike, what are they doing in terms of hiring?
Well, in lieu of what we were just talking about with the resorts being open, I also heard, and it did not make the list, but I'm telling you right now that the Hoop-Dee-Doo cast members and performers have been called back for rehearsals. So that tells you something that they're planning to open that again. They're offering, they're hiring and rehiring, and they're offering, I think most of the jobs start at $14 an hour down there, and they're hiring people left and right. Now, Michelle just went through several bullets of some of the resorts that are opening, and when you think about that, that means more rooms are being released. More rooms, more people. So does that mean that capacity is going to be raised? It's funny how a lot of these openings are going to happen in the first week in June, and Jerry Demings mentioned about June.
If they're opening these resorts, they have to raise the capacity, right?
And we may never be told exactly what the capacity is, but if I had to guess, I'm thinking that the first week in June capacity may be inching up to about 50%, but never know exactly. But I just think everybody should see what happens in about a month. Okay. See what happens.
And what are they? I see that you put that the base pay for certain jobs that they're looking to hire starts at $14 an hour. The jobs are at attractions, custodial, merchandise, and the quick service foods. So that's good. So like it sounds like besides the hotels, they're going to start hiring, which again is like you were saying, it sounds like capacity should be going up if they're hiring more people for these positions. So, and Michelle, I mean, I know as the person who loves her Android phone, you're excited that the Magic Mobile app is now, is that sarcasm or is that just?
Yeah, that's sarcasm.
Yes.
I didn't even know that. Mike put that on the list.
Heard it and I didn't really
this week.
Care. I will say though, on a side note, I did get my annual passes and I was able to put the passes in my wallet, and I tried and figured out on my own how to send those to my family members for theirs as well. You can
pretty easy, yeah.
It's pretty simple. You just have to find the right space to click, like I kept clicking on parks and passes or something like that, and it was another section. Oh, shit.
Let me shit.
What did you say?
I said, oh, sheesh. Let me see. Oh, sheesh.
It's pretty much, I think it's very similar to how I would share a movie ticket with a family member. So it's up on the in the right hand corner. You can share.
You go to if you go to the section that says Disney Magic Mobile as opposed to tickets and passes, and then you click on that person's pass, you can then choose. Let's see. You can then choose to send it. To select passes to share, and you share it with them via even just Messenger. So that's it's a great move.
Yeah.
And I would assume on Android it would be just your text messaging. But
I have to say, I love the little animated thing on your watch. I'm looking at my little
pops up.
Spaceship Earth right now, and it's all like little stars it's flashing.
Beacons of light.
Yeah, it's really cute. Beacons of magic. Really cute. So, I'm all for that.
But here's something. It's interesting. I just saw an article today in, I think it was it Washington Post? Or
I
was
think it was
the
Washington Post, yeah.
It was an article that Michelle had mentioned to us earlier. Michelle, we're kind of screwed up with car rentals now, huh? Yeah. So people aren't probably not even aware that if they want to go down, that we might have a problem with car rentals.
I don't think it was... It wasn't that article. It was in the Washington Post, I think, a week ago. I had read that to stay afloat, a lot of big car companies had sold their fleets. So they were just sitting in garages and nobody was using them. So they sold the cars to make sure that they had money coming in. And so what this means now, it is very, very hard to get a car. And if you do, it is a lot of money. I am going to... visit my son in Austin, Texas in a few weeks, and the cost of my car for this 5-day visit is more than my flight. So just really, really outrageous. And Mike, didn't you look for cars Orlando?
How long are you going to be there?
Just 5 days.
So five-day car
rental almost, is it's almost $600 for 5 days for a, I don't know, nothing special. But I mean, that's crazy.
Is that a Dodge nothing special?
Yeah, it's a Dodge. Yeah, I don't care, but I mean, oh my gosh, this like this little jaunt to see a family member is starting to add up in terms of you know, the hotel rate was what I would expect it to be, but the flight was very expensive and the car was even more expensive. And Mike, you were saying that in Orlando, you had looked for cars too.
Yeah, usually when I know I'm going to travel, I'll just grab a car as soon as I can. And I know that the price is usually the sweet spot is about 9 or 10 days from the day I take off. That's usually the cheapest time for a car. But these days, you know, you get to grab one. So I grabbed one in January, and it was a little bit more than I think it was
for the summer.
For about a week, in the first week in July. And it was about $300. And that's, you know, that was a little high, I thought. And I looked for the same car for the same time last week, and it's now $600. So I think that's happening all over the place. I think what you mentioned, Michelle, is happening all over the place, all over where people would... be using cars a lot, and they're not traveling, and so those cars are remaining idle. So I think the car companies have been selling it all over the country.
Yeah, they need to build their fleets back up now.
Orlando, Austin, Anaheim, you name it. So buyers beware, and I'm wondering if that, plus the airfare was high too. Airfare, and I think that's going to discourage a lot of people from, you know, going back to Disney, regardless of whether the mask updates are changing or the coronavirus is behind us. I think that money is going to become a really...
When does the Disney World buses, whatever they're... what's that?
Magical Express.
Magical Express. When does that end?
I think it ends December.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's another thing. Like, that you're either going to have to get a car service until they figure out the other services.
I'm sure the car service is going to be expensive, too.
Mears is going to take over for that, I think.
Right. Are they going to immediately take over in December or January, whatever?
I believe that Mears is going to pick up the slack And yes.
Hmm. Okay. So there you go. So at least there won't be a change in service. I wonder if, I would assume they're charging though. So you're going to have to pay.
Did you book your car service, Chris?
Not yet. That's the next thing. Well, I finally got my wife to sort of commit to actually going now. So I just got that point. Now I have to figure out how to logistics, get her to agree to do that. So, needless to say, why don't we talk about individual park updates? Mike, I know the Disney Hollywood Studios and the Disney Animal Kingdom don't have anything new, but there have been a couple of wonderful little things. One of them, the first one I think you're going to talk about, helps me decide to go in the Magic Kingdom. So tell me what's going on there.
Yeah, there's a few things that are, you know, hiding under the sort of under the radar, but the Tomorrowland Transit Authority, affectionately known as the People Mover, the TTA, that opened last either Saturday or Sunday, and it was operating for about an hour or two and it broke down. And then a few changes here and there, and it was back up and running. And I have a friend who was down there, and she said it was a very nice ride. Nothing has changed as far as audio and the scenes, but that's back up and running. And boy, that's been down for 13 months. So that was one of the things that's changed. I also, another thing that's under the radar is that, you know, when you go into the Magic Kingdom and you've got that Main Street Confectionery on the right-hand side, that has been expanded now. It's a little bit larger. Well, I don't even know if it's open yet, but it's supposed to be pretty sweet, as they say. So that's something for anybody who's looking for anything special down there to look at. Of course, the big
correct news that didn't we see an article in the paper about or online about a gentleman who was very upset with the changes at Disney World? And I think the next one on our list is one of those things that he was very upset with, huh?
Yeah, there are people who are not crazy about the political correctness that's going on with things like Splash Mountain and with the Jungle Cruise, and the Jungle Cruise is going through some crazy changes that probably a long time coming. And
I don't think it's political correctness. I think it's just correctness.
Yeah. And
it should have been done a long time ago.
In the spirit of the Jungle Cruise, it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be a little bit more magical. It's going to be, the theme's going to revolve around monkeys. And Trader Sam has gone. He's gone, and they have shown a new scene this week. I saw a scene of Trader Sam's cart or area where he's going to sell things. So Trader Sam is still around, but we just don't see him, you know. So, but that's that audio animatronic has been lifted, and I'm expecting Jungle Cruise to be open within a month.
It's still going to be fine. And, you know, we have to think about what do we want to teach our kids about the perceptions of the people on these attractions. Yeah.
I mean, I get that ride is supposed to be kitschy and sort of, you know, the Jungle Cruise directors are supposed to be this kind of white guys going to the jungle who don't know anything and everybody else does and whatever. But I think it's a long time coming, and I'm actually looking forward to the update. I haven't gone on for so long. I'm actually looking forward to going back on again next time I'm there.
You know, and I was listening, my favorite ride is Splash Mountain. And I was listening to the soundtrack today and I thought, yeah, you know what? This is really, this needs to be updated or changed a little bit. Yeah. So,
all right. It's okay. So, it's okay. So Mike, so now they've been updating the castle. Are we looking to do anything different while we're seeing all the updates to the castle?
I didn't know about this, Chris, but if anybody who's listening is going to be down there this week, keep your eye on the castle. Keep your eye on the front of the castle. If you have friends down there, you may want to ask them to keep their eye on the castle. If you look at the latest photos of the castle, you will notice at surrounding the clock, there are four, I guess you'd call them huge pipes that have been attached to the castle. And what I understand is that the 50th celebration icon or symbol or whatever will be placed over the clock fairly soon. And it could happen this week or within probably sometime in May. And so you'll be seeing photos of the castle with that new 50th celebration symbol icon. And my guess is that we'll be seeing a lot of that merchandise in the stores pretty soon.
Everywhere. We got a couple minutes left, so let's go quickly rifling through the Epcot updates. How's Harmonious going?
As far as I know, it's a lot of testing, There's so many moving parts. And I was talking to Michelle earlier today. I'm thinking I'm a little concerned about Harmonious because those barges are so complicated. Well, you know, I just hope they don't break down a lot. There's a lot of work going on, a lot of testing. Some of them are weather beaten. There's talk about they were going to be painted. So we'll see. But that's obviously the big thing in Epcot that we're waiting to see if and when we'll be able to see that this year. Other quick things, Ratatouille seems to be on time and we'll probably see that sometime this summer, if not sooner. I'm expecting soft openings in a month or two. We'll see. Again, we all know that the Food and Wine Festival will be starting in July. Looking Woo-hoo. Forward to that. That'll be good. And that's going to help because who knows if the restaurants will be open.
I'd be happy if it was all year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Michelle is very excited about the Gelateria in Italy. That is a gelato place where you can get all kinds of goodies, gelato and cannolis and whatever. And they have recently published the menu, but I caution everybody, don't look at the menu because if you look at it, you will gain 2 pounds.
Michelle's not a big ice cream fan. He's just being funny.
So here's something interesting, Chris. Remember we talked about the Creations shop and the and Club Cool, how it's moving over to Interventions East, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that the workers are working during the day while guests are in the park? That doesn't happen too often. So they're really hot to trot to get that completed as soon as possible. So keep your eye on that. The other thing that we forgot to mention a while back is that I believe this is where the old Club Cool used to be, and there was a character spot in Interventions West. I'm guessing now there's something that's called the Play Pavilion, and that's supposed to open sometime between I think August and October, and it's going to be one of those areas where I think it's going to be sort of a video arcade parlor, but maybe I'm insulting it by saying that there's going to be all kinds of things. It's going to be called the Digital Metropolis. And Disney is saying guests will discover an interactive city bursting with games, activities, experiences, connect them with friends, family, and Disney characters. One thing I know that I think Michelle would love is that guests will have a chance to help the legendary fashion icon Edna Mode on her quest to rid the world.
Yes, darling.
I love Edna Mode. But... How can we interact without touching things or having cast members clean things?
Yeah, I don't know.
I worked in a museum of science that was very interactive, and I just wonder, like, what that looks like now. People must be cleaning all the time.
People are touching, so I don't know. We'll see. It's called the Play Pavilion, and we'll see what's going on. The other thing is that I think we forgot is that I think this is around where Mission Space is. There's going to be a Space 2020 restaurant that's going to open in Epcot. And they have been talking about that opening probably sometime this summer. Again, who knows with the virus. A lot of these places were scheduled. I know the Space 2020 restaurant was supposed to open back in February. So who knows what's going up. That's something to look for. And finally, I found out, I didn't realize that China was getting a new Circle Vision movie. It's going to be called Wondrous China. So that's something nice and a new movie.
That
movie's been around for a long time, like 50 years, I don't know, 40 years, maybe, 45. Anyways, that's the latest from Epcot.
Wow, that was an awful lot of stuff there.
I need a nap.
That was a long one, so... Yeah. So we're going to just cut it right there. We're going to let you guys go. It's going to wrap it up for this episode of Mickey Miles and More. If you want to continue this conversation, join us on our Facebook page at Mickey Miles Podcast or on Twitter at Mickey Miles Pod. For Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean, Mike Scopa, I'm Chris Eliopoulos. We'll see you on the road, in the parks, and welcome home, everyone.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. for all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast. This is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.